Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk Wealth podcast. I'm your host, Jay Hugh. On today's episode, we got some big things going on. The young lady that is on our podcast today is not only an author, she's not only a real estate mogul, she's not only knowledgeable about today's topic, life insurance, but she's also a heavy hitter in the social media game. She is a pro, and I'm so excited to have her here. That young lady we're talking about is none other than Jamecia Jonay. Jamecia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much.
So, you know, we're happy to have you here, but something I didn't tell you before we started recording here was that I have a little trick up my sleeve that I ask every guest. So the question is this. Mm-hmm. When it comes to wealth, what is one of the biggest, best kept secrets you've ever given or gotten as advice when it comes to building wealth?
When it comes to wealth, the best advice I've ever gotten, that's a good one. I'm trying to think about, can I pick more than one?
Hey, look, it's your time to shine. What you got?
First thing is, I went to a conference and a woman said that wealthy people are in control of their own money. Never put yourself in a position where somebody else is in control of your money. To make that make sense, when we think about, and I'm not against any of these things, don't get me wrong, when we think about a 401k, 403k, some avenues that we put our money in, we can't always do what we want to do with our money. So that means somebody else is in control of our money. So that's something that stuck with me when it comes to building wealth, making sure you're in control of your own money. And then the famous Warren Buffett, rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, never forget rule number one. We're putting ourselves in a position, people are investing, doing the stock market, Forex, all of these things, to, you have the potential to lose money when they don't have a solid financial foundation yet. So I think that we're taking some of the advice and running with it too soon. But when it comes to wealth building right now, off the cuff, those are two things that stood out for me.
Okay. Never lose control of your own money. And then, of course, words from the great Warren Buffett. Never lose money. And rule number two, refer to rule number one.
Don't lose money.
And you know what? That is funny because I see so many posts, especially now, about learn how to do Forex trading and all of these great things. But like, why learn how to do that when you don't know the basics of management when it comes to money in the beginning? You know what I mean? It's so many people are trying to tell people like, oh, let me teach you how to do this, but you're not teaching them the basics. It's like, let's learn the basics first. So in keeping with that theme of learning the basics first, so that my audience can feel as though they know you as well as I do, let's first start with, how did you get into life insurance?
Oh, so I've been around life insurance, grew up around it. So our life insurance agent used to come to our house, or my mom's life insurance agent when I was younger used to come to my house. So my parents have that basic understanding of, you need to have some permanent life insurance. Ironically, a gentleman I dated in college, he became an agent right out of college. And so in my early 20s, I worked for him for a period of time, but I never saw myself or thought about myself as a life insurance agent, right? So as you know, I'm a real estate agent. Another realtor approached me about being a life insurance agent. I'm like, let me figure out who I am in real estate before I have brand confusion. But when I came to understand that if you Google wealth pyramid, wealth foundation, anything about the foundation when it comes to wealth, you're going to find life insurance, disability insurance, health insurance, and like emergency fund. So when we think about building our financial homes, so many people are building their financial home from the top down and not from the bottom up. So I'm working with people that are looking to buy homes, that are invested in the stock market already, but they don't have life insurance and they don't have a substantial amount of savings. So we're literally starting out upside down. Home ownership is one of the roads to wealth or real estate ownership, but we don't have that solid foundation. So being able to educate my clients on the real estate side, and then just people in general, the foundation of wealth is protecting your asset, right? So life insurance companies protect assets and debt. I am an asset to my household. My income takes care of my household. Not life insurance, insurance companies in general protect assets and debt. So when it comes to life insurance, I'm an asset to my home. That's that foundation. If something happens to me, whether I pass away, and some carriers have things for in life, my child will have, if I pass away today, my kid would inherit over $1.5 million, tax-free money, right? So that's why I got into life insurance. It's more, I lead by education. So the educational piece and being able to share something, everybody needs it.
That's right. I know that's right, because for a long time in my youth, especially like that, I want to say that 16 to like 25 range, it was like, yo, like, I'm healthy, you know? I was doing some stuff I wasn't supposed to be doing, don't get me wrong, but I was healthy, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So life insurance wasn't a concern for me, right? And I know a lot of people feel that way even today in our, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s. I'm not going to say how old I am, but I know a lot of people kind of look at life insurance like car insurance, like it's just in case and I don't need it because I don't benefit from it now, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the problem with the culture in itself, is that we're groomed to only think about the now, right? Like you just said, you know, if you were to pass away today, your kid gets 1.5, right? There's so many families who deal with death, and literally to bury them puts the family members in debt, right? I saw a sign a couple of days ago. A funeral home had a sign on a bench, and it said funerals as low as like $3,700, cremation as low as like $800. Now, I know it sounds like it's a lot of doom and gloom right now, but I promise you I got a point. But essentially, the one thing we're guaranteed is that eventually we're going to leave. Right? That's the one thing we're guaranteed. It's the only way out the game, right? So understand that this stuff costs money. And if you don't set it up while you're here, you put an extra burden on your child. Now, the great thing is you just made a post recently on Facebook around that topic, right? Like, I believe you said something to the tune of, if you were to leave today, are your kids set up for success or something?
What would your kids inherit?
Exactly, right? And that's the question. So you mentioned in your intro, right? Inheritance and education. So let's talk about life insurance from the consumer point of view, and then let's talk about life insurance from an agent's point of view, because I'm sure there's some people listening that might be interested in getting their insurance license after they hear you talk. All right, so we can start wherever you want to start, but let's start with the consumer point of view as far as building that generational wealth and leaving something for our offspring and their offspring.
Absolutely. So from the consumer point of view, first thing is, yes, some people will say, I'm young, I'm healthy, I don't need life insurance right now. That's not an expense I want to incur for whatever reason. First thing that consumers need to understand is life insurance, your premium is based on age, your sex, right? Male, female, because
really
have a shorter, men's life expectancy is shorter than women, right? And okay. Health. So when it comes to building wealth, and I won't go political, but some people have said when these African-American men and women are killed by the police and everything, if all of these people had life insurance and the company started paying out, that might shift some things. May or may not, we don't know, right?
Let's be honest. It'll shift some things.
It'll shift some things. Money talks, right? So I have a client, to put things in perspective. My client has a permanent life insurance policy on her six-month-old granddaughter. Permanent life insurance is whole life, fixed universal, indexed universal. Most people say whole life. We call whole life the old insurance. Whole life is the first type of permanent insurance that existed known to man, right? Mm-hmm. IUL or indexed universal life policy has been around for about 75 years. She's insuring her six-month-old grandbaby for $35 a month, and she has $147,000 of death benefit as a six-month-old. The goal is not for the baby to pass away. That's not the purpose of it. A permanent policy, her granddaughter, so when you pay your premium on a permanent policy, bulk of it goes for your life insurance because it's a death benefit, right? There's an automatic savings account attached to permanent life insurance policy. So okay. After she pays her premium, her granddaughter is gaining cash value, right? The money in that cash bucket is growing anywhere from 6 to 12% compound interest, right?
Okay.
Money in my savings account is growing at 0.01% interest.
Absolutely trash.
Right? It's not growing, right? It's not an investment vehicle. It's a life insurance policy. But when I tell you there are people with money that are towing the line and they're dropping money in here, because when I go to pull the money out, it's tax-free. It's Sam is not getting any money from my cash bucket. If I pass away, when that death benefit pays out, that's tax-free. Imagine somebody getting $250,000, $500,000 tax-free. Then if they set it up properly, there's a book, What Would the Rockefellers Do? So the Rockefeller family has been overfunding permanent life insurance for the last 100 years. What do I mean?
Oh, if wow.
Baby's premium is $35 a month. That policy says, just for example, you can put an additional $1,000 in here annually on top of the premium. Why would I do that? Because it's going in that cash bucket, a percentage of it, and it's growing 6 to 12% compound interest annually. And then I can pull money out of that cash bucket to go buy a house, to start a business, to pay for college. So there's so much that can be done with permanent life insurance. And I'm stressing permanent because there is also term life insurance, right?
Right.
Life insurance is basically you pay for it. If you don't pass away, you had it just in case. It has its place. I have term life insurance and permanent. One of the carriers that we work with, a few carriers, if I were to get sick, so John, if you know anybody or anybody that's listening, if you know somebody that's had a heart attack, cancer, my father,
stroke,
colon cancer, stroke, this policy will pay me out in life with living benefits. So you don't have to die to use life insurance. It's not death insurance. It's life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And the living benefits that I'm talking about are not in the cash bucket. This is completely separate from the cash. These living benefits exist in term and permanent policy. If you research, the top two reasons that people do GoFundMes is for burial and medical bills. So with a life insurance policy with living benefits for those who qualify, we can eliminate the need for GoFundMe for medical bills, also for burial. And you brought up something saying that, so I just talked to somebody yesterday, a loved one passed away and there's no money. There's no money to bury or cremate at this point.
Right.
They're trying to figure it out, right? We don't want to leave that burden. Prepare, we'll buy our kids, we're focused on a lot of stuff, right? So when I say $35 a month for life insurance, if when we had children, And now that we know better,
right?
Start with as little as $25 a month for a 2 week old. As soon as they get their Social Security card, and you only have to pay that premium for like 20 years.
Right.
You don't have to pay permanent forever if you start young. When you come to me and you're 40, you're 50, and let's be real, the trifecta in the African American community is high blood pressure, diabetes, and kidney disease.
Right.
Come to me now and you have diabetes, high blood pressure, kidney disease, you smoke cigarettes, your insurance is going to be higher. Your death benefit is going to be lower. You may not qualify for living benefits. The younger you are, the healthier you are, the less it's going to cost. You can, less than McDonald's, coffee, whatever your body may be, you could have life insurance on your life with living benefits, helping to ensure that if anything happens to you in life or death, your household will be okay.
Exactly.
And consumer side to, yeah.
Right. I mean, and let's be honest, like there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Sooner or later, something is gonna happen to you where you're not gonna be here. And life insurance is that vehicle that not only provides for living benefits, right? It not only provides for the potential to have a nest egg, to start a business, to invest into real estate, to buy a house to live in, right? Not only that, but at the end of the road, what you're left with is money to leave behind, which our people, right, our community, for a long time now, has not done.
Mm-hmm.
Not let alone having money to bury someone or cremate someone. But we don't have a house to leave our kids. We don't have money to leave them. We don't have any type of asset to leave them. All we leave them with is our debt that then those debtors comes to them in order to claim. And so I honestly, at this point in time, especially with COVID and everything that's going on right now, the Black Lives Matter movement and everything, I don't see a reason why someone wouldn't have life insurance. But let me ask you this. For the person listening that's like, okay, I hear you, even though I'm young, even though I'm healthy, it makes a little bit of sense to try to get it now, right? But how do I know what the right policy for me is? Like, what do you say to that?
To know what the right policy for you is, it's literally setting up a consultation with a financial services provider, a life insurance agent, myself. I am licensed in multiple states. We lead by education. So I'm literally sitting down with people and giving them an understanding of what a term is, a perm, a ROP, figuring out what their situation is, what their budget and affordability is, and then making the necessary steps to move forward. The thing with life insurance is, I said it earlier, everybody needs it. Everybody may not want it at this time, but they need it, right? Great, you're young. I've gone to funerals for 7-day-old children. I've gone to funerals for 39-year-old men. I'm in Chicago, right? We've seen young children, teenagers, and different things like that pass away. And the reality is the money isn't there. You can get a policy on a child for as little as $5 a month. Right? It doesn't have to break the bank. And yes, you're young. When Kobe Bryant got into that helicopter, he didn't think 41 was it.
I know that's right.
We don't know. I don't know. Do I plan? My grandma's 88. I had a great aunt that was 100. My dad is in his 70s. The way it looks, Jamecia will be here till she's 70, 80, 90 years old. Great. But things happen, right? And then the other point of that I talked about with the if something happens in life. I know a young lady right now, she's in her mid-30s. She's had so many car accidents, none of them that she caused, that she's in a wheelchair dealing with disability. Had she had a life insurance policy with living benefits, depending on her death benefit, she would have a monthly amount coming in to help pay for things. My grandmother ended up having Alzheimer's. I have a friend who her mom ended up getting Alzheimer's in like her 50s, and it hit her so quick and it hit her over. Those living benefits can help pay for a nurse to come in. So one is being properly educated on what life insurance is and what it can do, and definitely understanding the wealth building aspect of it in life, as well as when we pass away, as you mentioned, and being able to leave something behind. Because here's the thing, if it's a mortgage on my house when I pass away, my heirs don't inherit that.
That's the truth.
That covers that debt. If my house is not paid in full, heirs don't automatically inherit it, and they can't automatically assume the mortgage.
That's the whole process. That is a whole process.
It's a whole process. But if I have enough life insurance, you know, it covers that.
Because I'll be honest, I mean, my mom already told me, you know, her house isn't paid off just yet. I'm working to be able to do that for her and retire her. But she already told me, like, look, me and my brother, when I die, if the house ain't paid off, this is how much insurance I got. Make sure you take care of paying the house off so that there's no issues. Like, and I think more parents need to have those conversations, right? We need to have those conversations with our kids about how to manage lump sums of money, how to manage money in general, right? And then let them know, look, inevitably, I'm going to leave, and this is what you will get, and this is what you should do with it. Now, let me show you how to get it done. Now, you mentioned the cash bucket with the savings of the life insurance policy. I know a lot of people are probably wondering, like, with that cash bucket, how do I access it, and what can I use it for?
Absolutely. So, great part about that cash bucket is it's your money. So, people use a bank account, and you should have money in your bank account for emergencies because that money is liquid, right? So, we're talking about wealth building. There's a book called The Laser Fund. When people figure out that are financially savvy where they're going to put their money, they put it under a laser test, LSRT, right? Laser test. Is my money liquid in the bank? Yes, it's liquid. That cash bucket in life insurance is also liquid. Is my money safe? Yes, it's safe in the bank. It's FDIC insured, right? Insurance.
Right.
Is the banking industry. Insurance companies are insured and protected. We have billions of dollars on the line, right? The R is rate of return. In the bank, I'm getting 0.1, 0.3. You may find one that gives you 1, 2%. Great. Life insurance, permanent policies, anywhere from like 3 to 12%. So I'm getting a rate of return on my money, although the purpose is death benefit when we're talking about permanent policy, that cash. And then the tax advantages, that's the T for the laser tax. If I accrue interest up to $10, so if my account gets at least $10 worth of interest within a year in a bank, they're going to send me some sort of 1099, whatever form to file taxes. That life insurance money is tax-free. When can you access it? A permanent policy should have time to grow. So you want to give it about 5 to 8 years to mature. But once you've had it for a few years, depending on how you funded it, you pick up the phone and you call, it's my money, I want it now, and they're going to send it to you direct deposit or a check, and that's it. There are no stipulations. There are no penalties. There are no fees. You don't have to have a certain credit score. You don't have to have some sort of, and that's speaking specifically to 401ks, in order to pull down money, if you're not 59 and a half, you have to have a reason within the limitations to pull down that money. And when you pull it down under 59 and a half years old, you're paying a penalty and you're also paying taxes.
Right.
Once you're over 59 and a half, you're only paying taxes on the money. But that money can be pulled at any time. There are ways to set it up where it doesn't have to be a loan. Even if you borrow, and that's case by case specific. So I'll, perfect example. My first life insurance policy was 21. I'm dating a life insurance agent, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm 24, and I have my son. I'm not working. I pull cash to cover the mortgage.
Okay.
I turn 34. I go and buy a 4-unit building. I pull cash for the down payment, right? I turned 37. I meet someone. No. And then a year later, I pull down money for my dad. He wanted a Rolex. I'm like, I'm not Kim Kardashian, but I could. Right? So I've paid a mortgage. I've put down a down payment, and I've given to a Rolex fund with my life insurance policy. Then I meet somebody that's like, you can buy term and invest the difference. You should close this policy out. It sounded good, but hindsight is 2020, neither here nor there. When I closed that policy, guess what happened, John? Now, I borrowed money 3 times. I never said I paid anything back. What do you think happened when I closed my policy?
Well, I would think that whatever was left in there, they would give you.
That's it. What was left, they sent me a check.
Okay. This
is my policy that I had, how I performed. I don't want people to say, you know, if you pull it out, you don't have to pull it back, put it back. It depends on how much you're pulling, how much was in your policy. But I literally got a check in the mail. Never paid back a dime, never had to put anything on my taxes. I even got this money. Life insurance is, oh my God, it's so sexy. Like, that's another reason why I became an agent. This is the most affordable way to transfer wealth to the next generation.
And let's be honest, with the policy, more times than not, you're going to pay less money into it than what you actually get out of it, whether it's coming to you or going to your lineage. You're going to end up spending less money than what you actually get out of the policy. Let's just be honest on that.
You're knowledgeable around here. You're right. The money that you put in versus how much money is illustrated, even worst case scenario, that will grow in the cash bucket, it's not going to compare. And then with permanent policies, you can't have more money in your cash bucket than death benefit. So at a certain point, your death benefit will start to increase because your cash usually catches up with your death benefit. So I may be paying for $250,000, but depending on how long I live, it may be $350,000 of death benefit. And with an IU, death benefit and cash bucket will pay out to my heir, whatever is left in the cash bucket versus what's been taken out, both of those buckets will pay out to my heir. This is the most, we talk about wealth building, life insurance is the foundation for so many reasons. Imagine if all of us, when our grandparents or whoever passed away, if they left $100,000, $200,000, even $50,000 outside of what's burying them as seed money. It's rumored that, I've seen conflicting stories, but there's a story that says that Master P started No Limit because somebody passed away and there was a death benefit and he took that $10,000 and decided to start a business, right? And I was back and touch on something that you mentioned, not only teaching our kids what to do with money, but having a will and a trust set up. Death and weddings bring out the worst in people.
It does.
So having something specifically concrete, so a will, a trust, specifically concrete, and I'll use this example. Vanderbilt and Rockefeller, same time, billionaires, right?
Right.
Vanderbilt just left his money to his heirs. His money ran out in 3 generations.
Oh, wow.
Rockefeller family, over 100 people are still being paid off of what John D. Rockefeller did. He's been dead 100 years. He had a trust set up. So he didn't just leave the money. He left the money with specific instructions on what to do with it, how it should be executed. So they're still getting money from what he did 100 years ago, on top of them continuing to grow money by overfunding life insurance, right? So, And it's possible. A lot of people, when they hear wealthy, they think out of reach for them. But if we start with our kids, or if you miss the boat with your kids, if you start with your grandbabies, you're setting something up for the generation after them. Even if you don't get it right or you miss whatever. Right? Start now, instill it in them, teach it to them so they continue it on, so that wealth does start to accumulate, because we're training to have a net worth of 0 by 2053. We got the weave, the lashes, the Benzes, the Range Rovers, stuff, right? We ain't got no real assets. We don't own anything. Right?
You spend $20,000 on rims, $5,000 on the car. And when it's all said and done, the car is worth two grand, right? What's the point? Okay, so go ahead.
You have insurance on your car, you have insurance on your phone, you go out, you get married, you get insurance on the wedding ring, you got insurance on jewelry, you have insurance on your apartment, you have insurance on everything except your number one asset, which is yourself.
You got that right, because I know for a fact people got insurance on those $1,200 iPhones. And if you think iPhone is more valuable than your life, we got problems.
Absolutely.
We got problems. Okay, so that's the cash bucket. Now, you also mentioned living benefits, and you went into it a little bit, but I'm sure people want to know kind of what those living benefits look like, how they can access them, and things of that nature with that one as well.
Sure. So when it comes to living benefits, if an individual becomes chronically ill, a chronic illness disrupts any two of your basic six daily functions. I'll name a few of them. I should know them all by heart. But your ability to feed yourself, go to the bathroom on your own, dress yourself, those are three of the six. If two of those are disrupted temporarily, permanently, based on your policy and death benefit, you will receive a monthly amount.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I'm gonna stop you real quick. Let me ask you. So chronically ill, any two, right? So you're saying, let's say, and I know someone who went through this situation. Let's say a person has an accident. They're not at fault, but they're no longer able to walk. Would that constitute being able to access the living benefits?
It would, but that would be considered a critical injury, right? Because they've been injured.
Uh-huh.
They would actually be able to access up to 90% of their death benefit. So if someone has a $1 million policy, and this is laid out in the illustration, you don't have to look for it. I think I have it. No, it's here spelled out. You have a $1 million death benefit. It could be a term, right? I have a $1 million term. If I were to become critically ill or injured, I could access up to $900,000, right?
And that's tax-free.
Baby, tax-free, you hear me?
So I want y'all to understand what just happened here, right? If you become critically ill or critically injured and you have the right type of life insurance policy, you can then access up to 90% of what the policy is worth. Okay, so stop looking at the $20,000 life insurance policy because it's only $5 a month. Stop doing it, right? Let's get some real life insurance policy so that if and when something catastrophic happens in our lives, we can still be financially sound enough to either A, create more income, or B, have income to finish out our life with, right? And that's what wealth is all about. It's all about having the ability to keep going even when something catastrophic happens. There's a reason why companies like Disney and Walmart, there's a reason why social media influencers and business owners that are still in business right now, there's a reason why they were able to survive the brunt of COVID-19 when it first hit. It's because they were prepared to continue going even when something catastrophic like COVID-19 hit. Life insurance is your protection of your primary asset, which is yourself and your life. Life insurance is that vehicle that gives you the ability to keep going when something catastrophic happens. Now, before we go too much further, I just want to run my ad real quick so I don't forget. Today's episode is sponsored by Hughes Funding. Yes, it's my company. Yes, it sounds vain, but hey, it's my podcast. I can do what I want to do sometimes. So, and speaking about Hughes Funding, Jamecia, let me ask you this. Do you yourself have business credit for any one of your businesses?
Do I have business credit? I do.
Okay. And when it comes to business credit, what's your perspective on it? Like, how important is it?
Business credit is super important. And you already know. So at first I thought business credit was, I started my business and I got this, whatever it was, Chase card. And my manager and broker was like, that is my business credit. You have some credit in your business name, but that's not business credit. So people, when we're talking about access to capital, access to money, properly structured businesses, the whole PPP, SBA fiasco, business insurance is very important when you have a legit business, run it like a business.
I know that's right. So you heard it here. Business credit is extremely important. Business funding, extremely important. Business insurance, extremely important. And with Hughes Funding, you can find out how to build your business credit in the most efficient and fastest manner possible. And at the end of it all, still have access to funding, not even the traditional resources, but others as well. And Jamisa, you tell me, how was that ad? Do you think I ran it okay? Do I need some work? Like, where am I at right now?
You did fine. You should be self-promoting. On your- What better? I'm reading your five next moves right now by Patrick McDavid. He's the CEO of PHP Agency, and that's what I just read today. Self-promotion.
You got to do it, right? You got to do it.
If you
look, I'm going to get better at these ads, but, you know, we gonna work that thing out. We're going to work it out. So we went over building wealth through life insurance from the consumer standpoint. Mm-hmm. Now let's go into building wealth through life insurance from an agent standpoint. So for the person listening that's like, yo, not only do I want life insurance, but man, I think I can actually educate people. I think I can sell life insurance. What you got for me?
Let's get it. Let's go. So with PHP Agency, I'm an independent contractor with PHP Agency. I recruit, build, and develop entrepreneurs in the life insurance industry, right? I recruit and build for distribution. So anybody familiar with Robert Kiyosaki cash flow quadrant, but to shorten it up, a lot of us are self-employed, meaning I own a job, I'm trading time for money. If I don't work, I don't eat. As a real estate agent, I eat what I kill. If I don't work, I don't eat, right?
Right.
Bro, so I'm going to stick with insurance. Yes, love the cash. Robert Kiyosaki. So put that up. Hold that up, right? Hold that up. So whatever size you're looking at, the E&S is on, right? So you come in, most people are an employee.
Right.
PHP agent, you're self-employed. You own a job. You're recruiting and building to move to the right size to become a business owner.
Right.
Her utilizes a system and has a team. Every company recruits, the military recruits, the NBA, the NFL, they recruit because the owner of the Chicago Bears isn't going out there and running the ball, right? So,
oh, you're right.
I recruit, train, and develop entrepreneurs in the life insurance industry. What we are offering individuals is how to learn about money and become financially free yourself and educate others. The product that we sell, the only way that we make money is life insurance, but it's bigger than that. This is entrepreneurship. It's financial freedom. It's taking back ownership of your time and being able to create an income, earned income. I'm trading time for money when I sit down with the client. Passive income, when someone on my team sits down with the client, because I recruit, train, and develop them, I get an override or a percentage, right? That's passive income. Residual income, when my life insurance client is on the books past that 12th month, that 13th month, my residuals kick in. So I have three different types of income in one industry, and I'm simply going out and educating people on not only life insurance, but how money works, how the wealthy use money. And I'm getting paid well, you know, to do it. Financial services, if you look at what's going on in this pandemic, it's virtually pandemic proof. They had about 5% unemployment. They were at the bottom when it comes to industries, when it comes to unemployment, right? And financial services is one of the top five ways to create people that want to be millionaires and wealthy within the financial service industry as a life insurance agent. So I'm a life insurance agent, but I'm a builder. I'm a recruiter. I'm developing and building teams of people that go out and distribute and share the power of life insurance. So if you're interested, feel free to contact me. You can text me at 773-669-8151.
If you didn't catch that, it'll be in the show notes.
Yes, you can definitely text me. My name is not the easiest to spell, but I am available on social media and all of that good stuff. But seriously, a realtor reached out to me. I waited about a year before I got started, and I'm glad I did. My managing broker is in business with me just because there are things that we can do with real estate investments. It's so much that can be done, but if you're looking for an opportunity, if you want to make some more money, we train, we develop. You don't know, have to know how to do anything. You just have to be willing, coachable and open, make yourself available. You're going to be pushed outside of your comfort zone, but definitely.
So
for people.
So before we go into that landing zone, there's one question, because in everything you just said, and I know people probably listening like, is he going to really attack her right now and find out about this? I got news for you. Yes, I'm going to do it. So one of the things that I'm against, right, one of the things that I'm truly against is MLM. And I know with what you said, there's some people that's listening like, wait a minute. I got to recruit people and I got to work. So the question is, PHP just like any other insurance MLM, or can you just work and not recruit and still make good money, or how does that whole thing work?
Absolutely. So first and foremost, when you read Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad, he loves network marketing, right? Great way to learn and grow. Can you come into PHP and just produce? Absolutely. If you only want to produce, you shouldn't come into PHP because the contract level is super low. I'm real transparent with people, right? If you want to be a life insurance agent, just sell life insurance, trade your time for money, and you're only making money when you exert effort, go to one of the other insurance carriers that's going to pay you at a higher contract level, right? If you're looking to build and expose people to an opportunity, then PHP is the place for you. Now, what people don't know is I used to recruit for a company, right? So McDonald's has multiple employees just for the whole. Nope, I'm gonna do it like this, right? If I open up a McDonald's franchise,
okay,
not cooking the fries, flipping the burger, taking the order, what am I gonna do if I invest $500,000 in a McDonald's franchise? The first thing I'm going to do is put out an ad and I'm going to recruit.
Right.
Making money off of the efforts of other people because I'm an owner.
Right.
Invested in a business. MLM is the same thing. I don't make a dime if you don't sell a life insurance policy. We don't make money. You can join me in business. I'm not going to make anything. Right. But if I train and develop you, I'm going to, and I don't make anything from you. Now, what made me more comfortable, and I'm going to put on my real estate hat. As an agent, you have to work under a managing broker.
Right.
Meaning that I make my managing broker, that agency is getting a cut. In order for me to be $1 million agent, unless I'm in $1 million market, I have to add people onto my team and I get a percentage of what they do. So network marketing, MLM is in any business that you can think of. And I understand how some people feel some sort of way about it, which is cool, but yeah.
I mean, I guess my thing is the traditional MLM, which is unless you recruit people, you really don't make money, right? And with insurance or the example you use, like opening up a McDonald's or whatever the case may be. I mean, even McDonald's is looking at increasing minimum wage to $15, right? So in a system where even the, I'm gonna say the top person on the totem pole, where even the top person on the totem pole makes money, because if anybody knows anything about a real totem pole, the most important people were at the bottom holding everything else up. So that's why I'm saying the top of the totem pole. Even that person, the last person to come on, even that person still makes money, have no problem with it. But when the traditional MLM comes into place where that top person on the totem pole is essentially working for free, now that's when I have an issue, because I'm not about to, granted, I understand the whole intern thing, I get it, but I'm not about to set up a system for people to succeed and then not everyone a part of that gets money and then I make everything.
So you literally just described corporate America.
I know, which is why I don't work in corporate America.
You literally just described corporate America, but the way this system is set up, that's not the case. So there have been months that I out-earned an individual that brought me into business. So here's the difference, and I love to compare it to real estate. If I sell a house and the split is 2.5% to the buying agent, me, let's say that commission is $3,000. That $3,000 is going to go to the agency. I'm going to get 70% of that $3,000, then the agency gets the other 30% if it's a 70-30 split, right? Mm-hmm. If you go out and sell a policy and the commission is $3,000 that goes to, let's say, PHP, and you're at a 50% contract level, you're gonna make $1,500, right? I'm at a 60% contract level, I get a 10% override, I'm making $300.
Okay.
And make $1,500 plus three, right?
Right.
So people understanding how it works. And in PHP, I can't ride you to the top. You can outwork me and you can pass me up. You can pass up anybody in the business.
But see, that's what makes it different than a traditional MLM though. You see what I'm saying? It's those types of things that makes it different from a traditional MLM. And so
somebody can come in and they can hit their numbers. I'm not getting pushed up because I brought you in. You're going to pass me up. I will never let somebody under me outwork me.
Okay, I hear you on that.
It's all good.
I mean, for the listeners, you've heard it here first, right? PHP is not the traditional MLM, which means me personally, I am not against it. Demesia, we coming up here on a close. So before we let you go, if somebody wants to work directly with you, whether it's purchasing life insurance or becoming an agent, how do you want them to get in contact with you?
Sure. So I do have, to make it as easy as possible, my website is jamesiajohne.com, JamesiaJohnai.com. And then I can be reached by cell at 773-669-8151. Text message is best. On all social media, I am Jamesia Jone. So if you want to connect with me on Facebook or Instagram as well, but that's the best way to get in contact with me. I would say text is best.
So before I forget, you also have a book, right?
I do.
So where can I get the book from? Is that on your website?
It is. So you can find my book. You can find it on my website. It's also on Amazon.com and other major book retailers.
Okay. And we will make sure that we have all of Jamesia's information as well as a link to Wealth Wellness Meditation, her book, on Amazon.com in the show notes. And as always, good, better, best. Don't let it rest until your good is better and your better is best.